Romans chapter 9 and verse 33.
As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame.
This is what I want to talk on for the next 10 minutes. Yes, Paul was explaining to his fellow Jews who were strong Judaizers and was telling them that what you think is your greatest piety could be your greatest undoing. That's exactly what he was saying. But then he made a statement, and I want to just latch on this statement tonight. Say, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You know, because all were Judaizers, so it was not hip, it was not fashionable to be a Christian. But then the issue was in fashion, the issue was the truth, the issue was the way, the issue was what will last forever. It wasn't what was politically correct, like we have in the age we are today. A lot of Christians are towing the line of being politically correct, towing the line of sin. Doing the exact opposite of the Bible. And so whatever the case was, anyway, at the time, it was not fashionable. And so he made a statement. Say, anyone that believes in this Jesus will never be put to shame. And that's what I'm latching on. Any believer in the house? Yes. That means that your expectation will never be cut off. Yes. In the name of Jesus, Jesus will defend himself. He will defend his name. I say, you will never be put to shame. I accept it's not this Bible. I accept that Jesus is not real. But if Jesus is real, and if he truly died, and he truly resurrected, and he truly ascended, and he truly sent down the Holy Ghost, and he's truly in control today, let me say it again. You will not be put to shame. I say in the name of Jesus, you won't. If your confidence is in the Lord, I don't care how far gone your situation may be. I don't care how lonely you may be in your situation. I don't care how many are making a mockery of you. I don't care how many are waiting to see. Let's see him. Let's see her. Let's see. Let's see. He's about to fall. She's about to fall. Poof, there will be disgrace. You will not be put to shame. It says below, I said, behold, that I lay in Zion a stumbling block. And so the more they set up traps for you, they embondage themselves. They trap themselves. You will not be put to shame. It is their own greatest disgrace. In the name of Jesus. You know, Jesus has a pattern, and I wonder why. But again, he is the wisdom of wisdoms. He said, I send you out as lamb amongst wolves. What a setup. Lambs are food for wolves. And I am going to influence the entire creation. And you will be the one to carry my message and my fire throughout all creation. And the bulk of them are like wolves. And anywhere they see lamb, they will devour. And you know what? I'm going to present you to them as lambs. What does that tell you? That will attract them. That will get them out of their comfort places. That will get them zealous. That will get them ready to go for the kill. They say, watch who will die. Jesus has a pattern. And he's still sending you out as lamb among wolves. He hasn't changed his strategy. And so if we have you understand, you can never be put to shame. And so I looked at certain scriptures for tonight. And I tried to tie it to our theme scripture for the month. And I thought to me, when Isaac thought he got it all right, and was about to take that step to Egypt, and God said, no. I'm sure those who knew what he was trying to do, and many who had done that, would have laughed at him when he turned back in obedience. But was he put to shame? He ruled them. Please permit me to say what I received clearly from the Lord there. I was not thinking of it. And the person is here. I heard it clearly in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to whom we have gathered. I declare what I heard. Say, tell the person, you are the blessed of the Lord. Sit down. He said, I am the God that blesses my own. That's why I love Jesus. Praise God. So I want to just quickly look at one or two things. And the first thing is this. You know why things will be this way? Check what happened, because he was talking about, he was comparing Judaism and Christianity. And so in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I'll just look at that and I'll move away quickly to buttress what I'm trying to say. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I don't know who the person is. You know experts. You have seen them at work. You have employed their methods. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we all do. And that's why we are trained. Hello, are you here? He said, but you see, where experts have failed, before the end of this month, no, please write it down. For that one person, before the end of this month, you will succeed. In the name of Jesus. Where experts have failed, your God will come through for you. In the name of Jesus. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burn with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest. You see, there is a way we make this Christianity look like, no, but this God wants to touch you. He wants you to know that what you have read about him is still what is happening. And we want you to take him at his word. I beg you in the name of Jesus. Don't get so doubtful to the place where you become dumb. Don't get too intelligent to the place where you think you are superior to him. If his word says it, do it. If his words are boys, don't do it. If you like what he hates, ask for grace to help you. I sense fire. I almost want to, I feel like pointing the direction, but it's general. True, I sense it. I sense the fire. Sometimes it's just one contact you need. Sometimes it's just one. And what the devil thinks he has control of disappears completely. I don't know who the person is. And I don't know what your calling is. I don't know what is the special assignment for your life. But one thing I know is that if we preach the way he wants us to preach all the time, everybody will locate their places. And they will prosper in the places that God has called them. So in the book of chapter 12 from verse 18, say, for you have not come to the mountain that may be torn and burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. Praise the Lord. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. But you have come to what? I can hear you. Come on, I say what? Come on, say it again. I can hear you. Okay. And the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Look at verse 24. So where have you come to? Mount Zion. And where is Mount Zion? I mean, look at what constitutes Mount Zion. To who? Jesus. Come on. And who is the mediator of what? The new covenant. Are you a part of the new covenant? Look at the next one. And you have come to what? The blood of the sprinkling. He said you have come to the blood of sprinkling. Okay. Praise the Lord. That speaks what? Better things than that of Abel. So in other words, when we gather together in the New Testament, there are certain things that are active. The Spirit of God is active. Jesus Christ is active. And how is he active? Through his blood that he shed on Calvary. In fact, that's why I introduced you in the first place. And that's what sustains you. Come on, is somebody here, amen? You see, every religion on earth, we did something in the mystery classes, we call it heresies and cults. I'm sure they still teach it. Pascal, they heard you. Yeah, still teach it there. There are many things that look like Christianity, they are not Christianity. Oh, yeah? Some are outright cults. Some are Christian cults. And it's pretty easy to test them. But I won't go into that detail. They teach it in the Bible school, and I think they teach a bit of it in the believers' class. Praise the Lord. But where I'm going is this. See, before they begin to boast of power, there is blood behind them. Let me say it again. Before people begin to boast of power, there is blood behind it. I won't mention the religion. What makes the religion what it is? I don't know where it is in their book. But when they are in trouble, what they say to people is that they bury cows alive. And they wield dangerous powers. But I'm saying the strongest of men, we bow to God. And I'm saying there are powers of. So don't play the fool to say, which power? There are powers. Did you hear me? Uh-huh. So let them hear that. We know that they have powers. But the only thing is that we have power too. And our own power too came out from blood. Our own is not just a man. Our own is the man that has no duplicate on earth. You can't find his type. He shed his blood. That's why it says when you are born again, he says you are not on Mount Sinai where fear rules your life. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of what? The living God, where God is the judge and Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, and you have come to the sprinkling of the blood. Our confidence is the blood of Jesus. They don't say there's no power, there's power. Having said that, is your faith and confidence in this power that makes the difference. It's not enough to know that there is this power. Can you wield it? Are you ready to sacrifice to wield it? I'm not asking for another sacrifice. The only and everlasting sacrifice is him who has died. But he says, if you believe, do you believe? And so with that in mind, I want to put in somebody. These are Jesus through the ministry of his Holy Spirit never fails. Okay, I think I finished my sermon. And so I know there are questions in the hearts of many. If he never fails, how come he hasn't answered my question? How's he hasn't answered my own problem? I'll give you an example quickly. In the book of Mark, in chapter 6, write it down, read it at home. Mark chapter 6. Are you here? The Bible says he has asked them to what? To cross over to what? Come on, talk to me. The other side. And when evening, check your Bible. When evening came, when it was evening, come on, church, are you here with me? When it was evening and the ship or the boat was right in the middle of the sea, they began to experience trouble. Hello, read your Bible. And Jesus was alone on the land and on the mountaintop where he was praying. Come on, are you here? And they saw them in dear trouble. And they were struggling and they were rowing with difficulty. The wind was against them and the water was about to overtake them. And he saw them struggling. Remember, it was evening. And they kept on struggling and they thought they will die. Because two chapters before, when they woke him up, they said, don't you care that we perish? Then he got up and rebuked the wind and spoke to the sea to be calm. And he asked them a question, where is your faith? And they didn't die. And they marveled. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea. The question you ask yourself under some circumstance is, didn't he feel all the shaking where he was? Wasn't he being tossed around? Wasn't the wind beating on the ship enough for him to wake up? He was still sleeping. Why did he wait until they said, don't you care until we'll die? Because he knew that they won't die. And initially they knew that they won't die. But when he persisted, they thought they would die. But he knew that they won't die. Why did he wait? This time around, the Bible said, and he saw them from where he was. Read your Bible. And it was evening. And he saw them. And they were struggling. Then when it was 3 a.m., check your Bible. They saw him. They saw someone like a ghost walking on the troubled sea. Oh, yeah. They said, as troubled as the sea is, and on the sea. In fact, when the sea is not troubled, no man can walk. This one is walking on the troubled sea. The sea that will capsize a boat. He's walking as if there is no trouble. They say, this is a ghost. Oh, they were right, but it wasn't a ghost. It was the father of ghosts. The maker of ghosts. And when he saw that they were afraid, because fear cannot bring you out of your trouble. Write it down. Fear cannot get you out of your trouble. Write it down. No matter how troubled is your trouble, fear will not get you out. It's only faith in the maker of all things. I don't care how far gone you are. I don't care if all you have left is just your hair to go. I say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you have run to for deliverance this evening. I say Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, in the name of Jesus, I say your sinking stops tonight in the name of Jesus. I command your floating in the name of Jesus. Your going out, your coming in is blessed. You are ahead, you are not a tear. You are the light in your generation. You are the divine light in your generation. You are the salt of the air. Heaven is proud of you. You are relevant in God's scheme of things. You are never ordinary. I stir up the extraordinary in you in the name of Jesus. I say prosper. Spiritually prosper. I say physically prosper. Materially prosper.
financially prosper in the name of Jesus.